I'll use it again next Sunday night. Handout for those that didn't bring them back, who would like to didn't get a copy.
Mention because of the lesson in Hebrews chapters 1 and 2, how Jesus is better than angels. Originally wasn't going to do a kind of a side trip just on the subject of angels, but then after I thought about it, it seemed appropriate. Plus there was a lady in the congregation that kind of twisted my arm because she wanted to hear about angels. So I figured I would. So I got up a lesson or a few things on angels. You can see I put 3 pages. Tried to give you as much information as I could without going too much overboard, but I wanted you to try to answer as many questions as I could that you may have about angels and that subject. So we'll look at it, I know, tonight, and at least, Lord willing, next Lord's Day evening. I remember hearing a story of a man who called his wife Angel. Another man thought it was really sweet and very kind to always, every time he referred to his wife, that she's an angel. And then the man said, well, kind of pulled the guy to the side. He said, well, not what you think. I call my wife Angel because at home she's always up in the air harping on things. Don't laugh. So Angel, I hope none of you guys call your wife Angel now. By way of introduction, you mentioned the word angel, and think about what do you visualize. Somebody says, angel. Someone said, in my mind's eye, I see a lovely woman with long golden hair, a halo, a full flowing white robe, shining wings that flutter gracefully, the voice that's soft and gentle. Someone else said, when I think of an angel, I picture a chubby pink baby, a cherub, with a crossbow and a heart-shaped arrows, aiming at some fellow who, unknown to him, is about to be love-struck. There's an angel. But both those pictures or images are inaccurate, but however many people share these misleading mental pictures of what they visualize as an angel. In fact, most times when we read about angels and they appear to someone, the first words are, fear not. Fear not. So, the words angel or angels appear over 300 times in the Bible. And you look at just this time, just the concordance, the times angels appears in the Bible, and there's just an abundance of lists. Either the phrase angel or angels, angel of God, angel of the Lord, over here, John. And I'll bring one to you. So it's listed numerous times in the Bible. Obviously, I'm not covering all of these. I'm just going to give you an introduction or two lessons on the subject of angels. And even by definition, the word angel in the Hebrew and in the Greek are both translated messenger. The only definition. Messenger. That's it. Even when I looked at the concordance, after under the word angel, it says literally messenger. So if you're an angel, you're a messenger. He did say under point number one, after a celestial being, a messenger of God, then second, he had a minister or preacher of the church. I photocopied this just for that. I'm an angel. Number two in your notes, there are some terms referring to angels, and this doesn't exhaust the list. Just to get you started looking at it, 2 are called by name, Michael. Daniel 10, verse 13, Michael, one of the chief princes, came to help me in Daniel's vision. In Jude, verse 9, Michael, the archangel, contending with the devil. In Revelation 12, verse 7, there was a war in heaven. Michael and the other angels fought. So when you think about the angels, 2 are mentioned by name. 1 is Michael. That those are the only places that he's mentioned are in Daniel, Jude, and Revelation. The other one is Gabriel. Michael is the archangel. Gabriel in Luke 1, verse 19, the angel answering said to him, meaning to Zacharias, I am Gabriel that stand in the presence of God. And I'll deal with that phrase later in your notes when we talk about the angel of the Lord. And he says, I am that Gabriel that stand in the presence of God. I am sent to speak unto you and to show you these glad tidings. The other place Gabriel is mentioned is in Daniel chapter 8 and also Daniel chapter 9 with the visions. In Mark 8, verse 38, refers when he comes in the glory of his Father with the holy angels as opposed to bad angels. In 1 Timothy 5, verse 21, I charge thee before God and the Lord Jesus Christ and the elect angels. Interesting phrase, elect angels. That you observe these things. In Hebrews 1 verse 14, scripture we read over the last couple Sunday evenings, studying Hebrews chapters 1 and 2, are they angels, not all ministering spirits, to be heirs of salvation? In 2 Thessalonians 1 verse 7, when the Lord Jesus shall be revealed from heaven with his mighty angels, in flaming fire taking vengeance on them. There just seems to be a rank among the angels when you look at some of the words that describe them in the Bible. This doesn't exhaust the list, but in the just phrases used for angels. Another one is seraphims. By the way, the word seraphim is only found one time in the Bible, and it's in Isaiah chapter 6, the opening verses. And it begins, in the year that King Uzziah died, I saw the Lord sitting upon a throne, high and lifted up. His train filled the temple. Above it stood the seraphims. Each one had six wings. In your picture of an angel, how many wings did you put on that angel? Seraphims have six wings. He covered two with his face, two wings covered his feet, and two, he did fly. The other one is cherubims. In Genesis 3, verse 24, at the very opening of the Bible story, when Adam and Eve leave the garden, says he drove out the man, he placed at the east end of the Garden of Eden cherubims and a flaming sword which turned every way to keep the way of the tree of life. Rather a long reading. I want to read it for you just for the information. Where cherubims, again, you're very familiar with this one. In Exodus 25, verse 18, in building the Ark of the Covenant, it says, Thou shalt make two cherubims of gold. Of beaten work shalt thou make them in the two ends of the mercy seat. And make one cherubim on one end and one cherub on the other end. Even of the mercy seat shall ye make the cherubims on the at the ends thereof. And the cherubim shall stretch forth their wings on high, covering the mercy seat with their wings. And their faces shall look one to another. Toward the mercy seat shall the faces of the cherubims be. Thou shalt put the mercy seat above the ark. And in the ark thou shalt put the testimony that I shall give thee. There I will meet with thee. I will commune with thee from above the mercy seat, from between the two cherubims, which are upon the ark of the testimony, of all things which I give thee in commandment unto the children of Israel. So God says, I will dwell here and I'll commune with you between these two angels. In Psalm 99, verse 1, it says, The Lord reigns. Let the people tremble. He sits between the cherubims. Isaiah 37, verse 16. O Lord of hosts, God of Israel, that dwells between the cherubims, thou art the God, even thou alone. I say, there's other phrases that are used when you look up all those verses about about angels. Words that either describe their work, and that's what we're going to look at in our lessons, or just
something about them, their character, characteristics. Number three, I put in your notes, people always ask how many angels. Again, a few verses to think about. In Matthew 26, verse 53, when Jesus is in the garden, he shall presently give me more than 12 legions of angels. A legion, according to the Bible dictionary, is somewhere between 3,000 to 6,000 is a legion. So in this particular verse, Jesus could have called 36,000 or 72,000, depending on how the word legion is defined. In Luke 2, verse 9, lo, the angel of the Lord came upon them, meaning the shepherds. Verse 13, suddenly there was with the angel a multitude of the heavenly host, praising God and saying, glory to God in the highest. So you have with the angel that delivered the message to the shepherd, a multitude of the heavenly host. In Hebrews 12, verse 22, but ye are come to Mount Zion, unto the city of the living God, the heavenly Jerusalem, and to an innumerable company of angels. Innumerable. In Revelation 5, verse 11, I put all of these in your notes. And I beheld, and I heard the voice of many angels round about the throne, and the beast, and the elders. And the number of them was 10,000 times 10,000, and thousands of thousands. How many angels? Just a lot. Psalm 68, verse 17, just says, even thousands of angels. Then we come to one of the most difficult areas. I even put in your notes on, right under in the introduction. You know, often more is said about angels than is revealed, meaning that's explained. It's almost like the way the Bible opens, in the beginning, God created the heavens and the earth. Where'd God come from? Doesn't say. He just makes a factual statement. In the beginning, God. I want to know, what did God stand on when he was creating the earth and the universe? Now, there's questions that come about, but we're not told. They're just factual statements that are given. So I put in your notes, there'll be times when I'll just have to tell you the Bible doesn't say, or I really don't know. And this is one of them, about the angels, the origin of angels. Now, there are some ideas. Usually people say, well, angels are created beings. That's a logical conclusion. They're created beings. You got to come from somewhere. In Colossians, and I didn't put this in your notes, Colossians 1, verse 16, says, for by him, meaning Jesus, were all things created in heaven. Oh, wait a minute. In heaven. And in earth. Visible and invisible. All things were created by him. Visible, invisible, in heaven. Thrones, powers, and dominions, principalities. All things were created by him and for him. Oh, aren't angels ministering spirits? Perhaps they were, part of that, they were created so they would minister. We're going to look at some other things that angels do. And I put it, another illustration in your notes. I put it, appears that angels were already on the scene at the creation. In Job 38, verse 1, the Lord answered Job, and as the story continues in that whole chapter, verse 4, God asked Job a question. Where were you when I laid the foundations of the earth? Declare if you have understanding. And then in verse 7, when the morning stars sang together and all the angels, or some translations refer to the sons of God, shouted for joy. Now, Job was not their creation, but it appears that the angels were. When were they created? Somewhere, right at the beginning. At the beginning of creation or before. How long before? I don't know. Those are the kind of questions that we just ask. Well, I'm kind of scratching my head. I'm curious. Yeah, I'm curious too.
things we're just not told. We just don't know. Angels are not part of the Godhead. Angels praise God. Angels obey God. Work for Him. They're ministering spirits. They're not part of the Godhead. Therefore, I might conclude they were created before or at creation. And again, how long before? I don't know. Can't tell. Just says, in the beginning, God created the heaven and the earth. Spirit of God moved, and God said, of course, in John 1, verse 1, now in the beginning was the Word was with God, and the Word was God. Verse 14, the Word became flesh, so Jesus was there. So you have this Godhead, you know, Father, Son, and Spirit. But as far as when the angels were created, the exact time, I don't know it. They were present at the beginning of creation. So sometime right at the start or before. I don't know how long the period. Just don't know. Another question people often ask is, do angels die? I don't know. I don't know in a sense. But God appeared to Daniel in Daniel chapter 9 Gabriel appeared to Daniel in Daniel chapter 9 verse 21. 500 years later, he appears to Zacharias in Luke chapter 1, verse 19. So I know that Gabriel, from that time span, was around for 500 years. You know, so we don't think of angels as aging, as we age, or getting older. They're just there. Same thing, does God get older? Not talking about time. God is just God. He's just in existence. Well, angels are just in existence from the creation. In Luke 20, verse 34, Jesus answering said to them, the children of this world marry. Children of this world marry. Sure do. And are given in marriage. But they which shall be accounted worthy to obtain that world and the resurrection from the dead neither marry nor are given in marriage. Neither can they die anymore, for they are equal to the angels. And one translation says, as the angels. And are the children of God, being the children of the resurrection. That phrase is also used in Matthew chapter 22, beginning at verse 29. So for what we are going to appear to be like after and the resurrection, neither can they die anymore, but we're not going to die anymore. We have eternal life. We are as the angels. So there's an inference that angels don't die. And a question that sometimes follows up with that one, I put in your notes, are any more angels being created? I wouldn't know why. I can't just logically reasoning why would there be a constant creation of angels, but that doesn't answer the question. I don't know. Angels are always spoken of in the masculine gender. They don't marry. Therefore, the conclusion is they don't reproduce on their own. And apparently, there's been no reduction in their number since they don't die. At least that's the inference that, you know, we shall be as the angels. We'll not die anymore. So I have no reason to believe that God created more angels over the course of time since the beginning of creation. I don't know, is there a necessity for more angels than there were? We already read about how many angels there are. So there's more questions than there are answers. Sometimes with the information we get, it just creates more curiosity. And that's what it is. So I try to tell you what the Bible says, and then the rest is left to us. Point number five, what's the relationship of an angel to God? But just a couple things. Angels worship God. Psalm 148, the opening verses. Praise ye the Lord. Praise ye the Lord from the heavens. Praise Him in the heights. Praise ye Him, all His angels. Praise ye Him, all His hosts. Praise ye Him, sun and moon. Then we have that song in our book. Praise the Lord. Sun and moon, stars, all creation. Praises God. In Psalm 103, verse 20, bless the Lord, ye his angels, that excel in strength, that do his commandments. they're not on an equal with God, not they're not in the God yet. They were, I'm going to make a conclusion, a created spirit to do the bidding of God. Well, whatever he would say. They hearken unto the voice of God. In our text from last week, the last couple of Sunday nights, Hebrews 1 verse 4, are they not all ministering spirits sent forth to minister for them who shall be the heirs of salvation? And I'll close with number 6. Yeah. Then we'll finish the lesson up next week. Relationship of an angel to man, to us. Hebrews 2 verse 6. Again, a text we read last Sunday night. But one in a certain place testified, saying, what is man? If thou art mindful of man, or mindful of him, or the Son of Man, that you visited him, thou made him, meaning Jesus, a little lower than the angels. So in this rank, if you will, this hierarchy, the angels are higher than us. But even with that height of the angel, as far as rank in creation, we are not to worship an angel. Colossians 2 verse 18, let no man beguile you or rob you of your reward in a voluntary humility and the worshiping of angels, intruding into those things which he's not seen. He's vainly the speaker, the false prophet, the false teacher, vainly puffed up by his fleshly mind by saying, let's worship angels. Ah, no. Revelation 19, verse 10, and Revelation 22, verse 8. I, John, saw these things in the vision that Jesus gives to John. I, John, saw these things, heard them, and when I had heard and seen, I fell down to worship before the feet of the angel which showed me these things. Then he said to me, see thou do it not. So we do not worship angels. And the verse goes on to worship God. So here's a little introduction to the subject of angels. And as you see, when you go down on page 2 and even page 3, we get a little more practical and some things, just general characteristics or observations about angels, and I'll talk a little bit about that, like I say, Lord willing, next Lord's Day. So keep your notes on what's up with angels. I like to humor myself. I was just going to title it a study of angels. I said, no, let's say what's up with angels. So, all right. Maybe one here this evening, when we extend this invitation, it's a soul-saving invitation, where Jesus said, come to him, all ye that labor and heavy laden, I'll give you rest. So there's a method or a plan, a recipe, if you will. There are steps to take in coming to Jesus. Number one, you need to learn about him, hear and learn, and then believe that message, repent, make God a priority, then make your confession of your faith. I believe Jesus Christ is God's Son. Then you be baptized for remission of sins, and new life begins. From that point on, then we begin to grow in grace and knowledge of our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ. So if you're subject to that invitation, or if you want to make a public response and just ask brother for strength or encouragement or prayers on your behalf, just simply let that be known. So let's stand together and sing the song that Dennis has selected.